One thing we all know about Tommy Wilson, Tommy loves movies. He's a connoisseur of movies. And one tradition that Tommy started a long time ago, it's been over 20 years ago, but he always started showing us a movie clip during the Thanksgiving Eve service. And there have been some powerful moments. He's introduced us to movies that we didn't know anything about. There have been moments of inspiration. There have been moments in which we have laughed and moments in which we have cried. But there is one movie, an epic classic, that's centered around a Thanksgiving theme that for some reason Tommy has never used at the Thanksgiving Eve service. It's the great movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. If you've ever seen that movie, you know why Tommy has never used that at the Thanksgiving Eve service. It is a hilarious movie starring Steve Martin, who plays a New York marketing executive, and John Candy, who is a clumsy, talkative shower curtain ring salesman. And both of these guys, who have nothing in common, are trying to get home to Chicago for Thanksgiving. There's a snowstorm, and the movie is a hilarious account of all of their misadventures as they are matched together trying to find a way to get back to Chicago in time for Thanksgiving. Well, there's this one scene where they rent a car. They decide it's best to drive back. And so they have this rental car. John Candy is driving. Steve Martin is in the seat beside him. And they go down the ramp and get on the interstate. They're going north on the interstate. And they get in what they think is the far right lane. But they're actually in the southbound lane. They're going the wrong way. And there is a car beside them. There's one of these big concrete barriers. And there's a car in the appropriate northbound lane in the far left-hand side who they realize these people are going the wrong way and this can be a disaster. And so they pull up beside them. Now they're going at 60, 70 miles an hour. And they get their attention, and they say, roll down your window, roll down your window. So Steve Martin rolls down the window, and they're saying to him, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. To which John Candy and Steve Martin reply, that's crazy. How do they know where we are going? It's really better if you see it. So as a church, we ask the question, how do we know where we are going? As you all know, the retirement of Tommy Wilson has become a hot topic in Lexington. Everywhere I go, people are asking me about Tommy, and the first question is, what are you going to do without Tommy? And I say, we don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, they said, what does your church do in a case like this? What is the protocol? What is the procedure for searching and finding a new associate minister? I said, considering the fact that it's been 30 years since we have looked for an associate minister and we've lost all of those notes, we don't know. Of course, that is a wonderful problem to have, is it not? Do you realize that this church has only had two associate ministers in the past 40 years? Tommy Wilson and David Whiteman. This church has only had three senior ministers since the Second World War. And Gene Ashley, Gene, you're in your, is it third, give or take a year or two, as director of our children's center. I don't know of any other church that can match that record for longevity. I have been thinking about a lot of things that Tommy has said along the way and that Tommy has taught me. And I remember when I first came here 26 years ago, one of the first things that Tommy said to me was this: this church knows how to be church. And in his letter that he read for us on that fateful Sunday in January, in which I know you don't remember a word of it because we were all shocked that Sunday, but if you go back and read his letter, he makes the statement, "You have embodied what it means to be church." The longevity of our ministers, and do you notice a pattern in that? That says as much, if not much more, about this church, about you, the congregation, as it says about its ministers. We have been blessed in this church. We have been blessed with a church of love and compassion. We have been blessed with a spirit of unity, with an absence of conflict, and with a blessed sense of fellowship and community. This church does know what it means to be church. But we are in uncharted waters now, and we want to make sure that we're not going the wrong way. One of the things, the first question I ask is, what are we going to do? Where will we find a minister? How will we be able to take care of all the things that Tommy has done? And I thought about another movie. This one truly is an epic classic. The movie of The Wizard of Oz, one that we all love. You remember that after being carried away in a powerful Kansas twister to the land of Oz, Dorothy wants to return home. That's her desire. She wants to go home, but she's told that she must go and visit the powerful wizard, the Wizard of Oz, in the Emerald City. She must go and find him, for he is the only one who can grant her request to go home. On her journey, she meets a scarecrow, a tin man, and a cowardly lion. The scarecrow is in search of a brain. The tin man is searching for heart, and the cowardly lion, bless his heart, he was looking for courage. And so they embark on this grand adventure down the yellow brick road, believing that only the wizard can grant their wishes. And when they finally arrive in the Emerald City and they meet the wizard, it is exposed that he is a fraud. But they also discovered something else. The scarecrow doesn't need a brain. He's always had a brain. It was always there within him. The tin man, he doesn't need a heart. He already has a heart. It has been there the whole time, deeply embedded within him. And the lion, he had courage, courage that he never imagined. And even Dorothy, we all know that Dorothy, who wanted to go home, was actually at home the whole time. And one day it dawned on me, when I kept asking the question, where will we go, where will we search, where will we find a minister, that here are the ministers. You are the ministers. We don't have to search to carry on the work of the church. This wonderful passage that Tobin read for us this morning in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul makes it very clear that every single one of us has been called to do the work of the ministry, and all of us have been gifted. All of us have different and unique gifts. He writes, grace was given to each one of you according to the measure, to the riches of God's gift. There are those of us, Tommy, Ray, and others who are, quote, professional ministers. I mean, this is our job. This is what we do. But our task, according to Paul, is not to do the work of the church. Our task is to equip you, the saints. Or Tobin, your translation had the people. I think we identify with that a whole lot more. That we are to carry on the work of God's church. That all of us have been gifted. Paul talks about this also in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about they were all working together as a body of Christ. We're all part of the body. And even though our gifts are different, the tasks are different, we all of us working together, we make up the body. And Paul said, you know, the eye doesn't say to the foot, hey, I'm more important than you are. The elbow doesn't say to the ear, hey, look, they can get along fine without you, but not without me. It doesn't work that way. We all work together to build up the body of Christ. And so with that in mind, how do we know that we will not be going the wrong way? Well, I want to make this very simple. I want to put this in a form that we can all remember and we can all understand. A, B, C. A is we begin by asking God. Asking God. One of the most exciting things to me about this whole journey is that God already knows the outcome. He already knows who the next associate minister of this church will be. God already has it worked out. But we need to ask God. We don't need to be like those two guys going the wrong way down the interstate. We don't know where God will lead us. We don't know how he will lead us. But we know that he will because this is God's church. This is not Ray's church. This is not Tommy's church. This is God's church. God already has the next minister for this church selected. Now, Wednesday night when we had our congregational meeting, Kathy Hinkle, who's chair of our personnel committee, told us about the process after doing some research into the bylaws. It is the responsibility of the personnel committee to find the next associate minister. Now, the way we're going to do this is the personnel committee will appoint a search committee. A search committee that will be representative of this whole church family. But this committee is not going to immediately run out and try to find a minister. This committee will begin by doing what I hope every single member of this church will do. We will ask God, where are you leading us? What type of minister are we searching for? And one of the things that this committee will do is they want to hear from you, every member of this congregation. You tell us the type of minister that you envision for First Baptist Church going forward in the future. This will be a process in which the committee will seek to determine the direction that God is leading us. Then they will go out and search for a minister. We know that God will lead us because he's done so in the past. You remember the last search committee we had at this church? That's the best search committee in the whole history of the church. They only met two times. We were looking for a minister of music, and God already knew that Paul and Deborah Freeman were just ready. It was the right person being at the right place at the right time, and seriously, the committee only met two times. And aren't we blessed with our minister of music and Deborah? Now, I have a feeling that it may not be that fast, but at least that tells us that God is leading us. So let me ask you, first of all, to make a commitment to A, to ask God. We have a prayer group that meets every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Right now, they have a conference room. But Newell, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had to find a bigger place to meet? If we had 30, 40, 50 people every Sunday morning who would gather and pray and earnestly ask God to lead us as a church? A. B. Be yourself. God is calling you to discover your own unique individual gifts. A lot of people have commented on the fact that Tommy and I have worked so well together, and I think we have made a pretty good team. You know how we've done that? See, we have different gifts. We complement each other. We're not in competition with each other. There are a whole lot of things that Tommy does much better than I. That's why I'm so scared. That's what worries me so much, because Tommy does so many wonderful things well. But we have worked together complementing each other. There's an old story in the Jewish rabbinic tradition of a faithful Jew by the name of Simon. And Simon wanted to pattern his life to be more like Moses. He prayed every day that God would make him more like Moses. He went to the rabbis and he said, "Please tell me, how can I be more like Moses?" And the rabbis gave advice. But one day he had gone to a rabbi and he had said, "I want to be more like Moses." And the rabbi looked at him and said, "Simon, God doesn't want you to be more like Moses. God wants you to be more like Simon." We often say, what would Jesus do? The question is really, what would Jesus have me to do? And if we will all be ourselves, if we will find those unique gifts, and we make a commitment to use them building up the body of Christ, we're going to see great things happen. Which leads me to C. A is ask God. B is be yourself. And C is commitment. Commitment. A commitment for every person in this church to discover that unique gift and to make a commitment to use it. We have been blessed by the longevity of ministers, but you know there's also a downside to that, and the downside is that over time we become too dependent on our ministers. There are a whole lot of things that Tommy and I do, that Sandra does, that Joyce does, that we do that somebody else could do, but it's just easier for us to do it. And everybody else says, well, Tommy's going to do that. Sandra's going to do that. Joyce is going to do that. So over a period of time, we just settle into that comfortable pattern. I started making a list of all the things in this church that we need help with. And I came up with 40 different things, and I'm still not finished with my list. Because it's one thing for me to stand up here and preach saying, you need to step up to the plate, you need to take on more responsibility, and then you're going to say, what can I do? Well, folks, I got a list. I got a list for you. There are 40 different things on this list. Now, some of these things are things that one person can do. Some of them are organizing things like coordinating the lay readers on Sunday. That's just something I contacted Tobin and we worked it out. I just always done that. Some of these are things that we need someone to do, but no one has done, like looking after our church vehicles. Some of these things we need dozens of people to do, like working in Vacation Bible School, July the 25th through the 29th. Some of these things are responsibilities that we already have committees doing, but we need more people, especially with Tommy leaving. And you have a wonderful care committee. You all systematically visit the homebound, the nursing homes, but we need more people. And one of the things on this list is to coordinate with the care committee to make sure that those people in our church are visited. There are some things on this list that we would like to do, but nobody has volunteered to do it. I even put on here one thing, create a new ministry. Touching Davidson County with love. Judy, 10 years, can you believe it? Doesn't seem like that long ago that you and, was it you and Sydney? Who? Judy, Tricia, and Newell came and sat down in my office and said, we think this would be something wonderful to do in our community. And now we're celebrating 10 years. I would have never thought about that. That's a new ministry. Things like Meals on Wheels, our homeless shelter. There are so many great things that started within this church. Maybe it's time for somebody to say, God is leading me to start a new ministry that's going to bless this whole community. Well, I have a list, 40 different things. In just a moment, before we leave, our ushers are going to have copies for each and every one of you. So that when you ask the question, what can I do? Here it is. Are you ready? Are you ready for us to work together as the body of Christ? Here's a definition of a real leader. And we're looking for leadership. Oh, goodness, aren't we looking for leadership in our nation and how we pray. But a real leader is not someone who does everything themselves. A real leader is one who can tap deep into the psyche of every individual. Those things that we think are good and we would like to be able to do, but usually we won't do on our own because we just don't believe that we can do it. Deep down, you always like how a real leader makes you feel. There are some people when they motivate you, when they ask you to do something, you would go to the moon and back to accomplish it because of the way they make you feel. A real leader is somebody who can help us overcome the limitations of our own individual laziness and selfishness and weakness and fear and get us to do better, harder things than we never imagined we could do on our own. If every one of us will commit ourselves to A, ask God, B, be yourself, and C, make a commitment to step up to the plate, to take on more responsibility, to let the church be the church, then we're going to discover the great blessing of God in this community and fellowship. And when we do find a new associate minister, that person's going to have trouble keeping up with us.